Begin the current daf Masechtas Bav Metzia, Perakei LeMetzias, daf Chav Beis. Begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we had a machlekes between the Bayin Rav and the Halacha of Yishalei Medas. And that is, we had explained that regarding someone that finds a lost object, he has to return the Zechiva of Hashavas Aveda, to return someone's lost item. However, that's as long as it's his. However, if he's Miyayish, he gives up hope, it's, so to speak, declaring it ownless, like I give up and that it's not mine, then the halacha is someone can keep it because it's not belonging to that person. He doesn't have a chiyuv, doesn't have an obligation to return to that person. Now, one of those things that come up are a simon. If someone doesn't have a way to identify it, to prove that it's his, to get it back from the one that found it, if there's no simon, so he gives up hope and he says, you know what, forget about it, I'm not going to get it. There was a machlek is a bayin rava. If you shaloi midas, if someone would give up, if he knew that it fell, let's say, for example, if there's no simon, so how am I going to prove it? So, yeah, I'm going to give up. He just doesn't know yet that it fell from him. He doesn't know about what happened. Then there's machlek is a bayin rava, if that's yish or not. Do we say it's yish, like Rava said, or do we say like a bayin? No. Although you're right, if and when he would know, he would be miyayish. But now that he doesn't know, he didn't give up yet, and essentially it's still his. So the Gemara continues to try to bring proofs from different Tanoic sources, from Mishnayos and Braises, to bring a proof to either one of these opinions to see whose opinion is correct in the halacha of yish shaloi midas, if it's yish or not. So the Gemara continues on that. So Tashema, the Gemara says, let's bring a proof to Abaya that again, that he holds yish shaloi midas is not yish from the following Braise. The Braise says, shotef nahar, if the river washes away kairav, somebody's beams, and again, beams are generally like these large poles that hold up buildings, eights of his wood, va'avonav, and his stones, that's of one person's, and the river washed it away, v'nasna b'tech sedei chaver, and then the river went and traveled in the river and then brought it into someone else's field, and now that person found it. What's the halacha? The Braise says, hare elu shalai, the one who finds it can keep it. What's the reason? Because the owners gave up. What does that mean? How do you know they gave up? That's because generally when the rivers wash away somebody's beams and his wood and his stones, the owners know about it right away because there's a whole, everyone's making tumult, there's a voice about it, so to speak, that people are talking about it. So here's a bit, he goes, oh, forget about it, the river took it away, he's miyayish, he gives up hope. Now, on this, the Gemara makes an inference to prove to Abaye's halacha that yish lemidas is not yish. And that is because what we find from the Braise is, time within the Siyayishu Abaylam. What's the reason by this case, when the river went and flooded and took this person's stuff, and now when someone else gets it, that he could keep it? Is because we know that the owner gave up because he heard about it right away. Everyone hears about when this flood comes and takes everything away. Hastama, but the inference is, if it would be a general case, in other words, a regular lost item, where we can't say for sure that the owners knew. It's not like when this wave comes and takes everything over, where everyone says, oh my, did you hear what happened? And everyone knows right away. Then why? Then we would not say that the one who finds it is the keeper, that he could keep it. That's difficult according to Rava, because Rava says, you shaloi midas, even if you don't know about it. But if you knew, which that would be the case, if you knew that it was washed away, if you knew, even though no one knows, but if you knew you would give up, then it's giving up from now also, and that the person could keep it. It sounds like he could only keep it because it's midas, because everyone knows about it, like Abaya. But if you did not know about it, even though it's a case where you would give up, that the person cannot keep it. So that seems to support Abaya. Now the Gemara says no. Hacha Ma'iskina, what we're talking about over here is the way Rava learns the inference is different than the way the Gemara had assumed when it was bringing support to Abaya. And that is this that we said, however, generally, if people did not know about it, that then we would not say Harei Elu Shalai, we would say that he cannot keep it, is Kishayachal Lahatzel, is saying that, you're right, our case is talking about that he can't save it. And therefore, since he knows about it, or even if he didn't know about it, according to Rava, he would give up. And therefore, Yish Lemidas is Yish. The inference was telling us, however, when he could save it, then he's not going to be Miyayish, because that's not even a Yish Lemidas Midas. A person would not give up if he knows he could keep it. And therefore, even when he finds out about it, he's going to say, okay, so let me go get it. I can still save it. And therefore, as Rashi says, the inference is saying, Rava is saying, I agree to the inference, let's say by a different lost item, where it's something that has, let's say, a simon. Where, again, if there's a simon on something, a sign that I could identify that it's mine, I'm not miyayish, because you could give a simon and take your thing back. On that, he says, I agree in that type of case that you would have to give it back and you wouldn't be able to keep it because there's no yish even of shalai midas. Whereas the case that the Braisa was telling us, the way Rav is interpreting it, is that even if you did not know about it, however, since you wouldn't be able to save it, Therefore, that's going to be considered Yish. And that's Rabbi's opinion, that Yish Loi Midas have a Yish. It's not, the way we interpreted the Braisa was that Mipnishin Nisyayash HaBayim, because the owners give up. The Gemara had assumed it meant because, yes, we know that he gave up. And that's like a Bayim, but if you didn't know, then it wouldn't be considered Yish. We're saying no. What does it mean, Shinisyayash HaBayim? The Braisa is talking about a case, even if he didn't know, but the thing is that he would give up because he can't save it. That infers, but if you wouldn't be able to save it, yes, that then, but if you, it would infer, but if you could save it, the Braisa told me that you can't, but it would infer that if you could save it, then yes, it wouldn't be Yish, because, again, that's not even Yish Lemidas, because even when he finds out, he's going to go ahead and say that I can go get it and save it. And that the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if this is the way the Braisa is, this understanding, the way Rav is interpreting it. So Amos Sefer, look at the end of the Braisa. The Braisa qualifies the halacha and says that im hayu habaylim miratven achareim, if the owners were running after it, say they were trying to save their things, then chayv lahachzer, then you have to return it to them because that's obviously proving that he's not giving up. He's trying to go ahead and save it. However, ibi chayin lahatzer, if you're going to say the way Rav is interpreting it, that the halacha is that when do we say that you have to return it to them? That if he could have saved it, that's what we're saying, that, oh, when you can't save it, that's going to be Yish. Even if he doesn't know about it, because he can't save it, he would give up hope. So even now, if he doesn't know, we consider giving up hope. But the inference that Bryce is telling us is not like how we had explained in Abaya, that to say that when you don't know. That's not the criteria. That's not the main point, according to Rabba. But the point is to say that, however, when you could save it, then that's not going to be Yish, because even if I knew, I wouldn't give up hope, because I could save it. But if that's the case that's talking about, then my area, Miradfin, why does the Braisa say that only if you're chasing after your item, then we're going to say that, oh, then you have to return it to him. Afila ein Miradfin nami. Even if he's not running after it, why do you say that then, oh, then you could keep it? What does that mean? He's not running after it because he says, you know what? I'm not interested right now. I could save it tomorrow, a different day. I'm not giving up hope because it's talking about a case of Bichayin Lahatzel. He could save it. And therefore, why does the Braisa say that it's only if he's running after it when he sees it that it's going being swallowed up? Fine, I'll get it a different day. It's talking about Bichayin Lahatzel. And that the Gemara says, that's not a difficulty according to Rav, although it is talking about that this is the main idea, if you could save it or not. But Hochamayiskin, what we're talking about is Bichayin Lahatzel al Dehatchak. That means to say he could save it, but only with great difficulty. And that what that means is that if he doesn't go quickly to save it now, he's not going to save it. And therefore, what that means is, miradfin, if he runs after it, lo yayayish. So that means he's not giving up hope. Ein miradfin ayuyish miyayish. If he sees it and he doesn't run after it, then he is giving up hope. He's being mafgrid because he knows about it, and he's not saving it. So you're right, that the inference was saying that if you don't know about it, let's say, and you could save it, the halacha would be, yes, that's not going to be Yish, because you could save it even if he knew about it. But if he knows about it, and he has the option of running after it or not, since it's not so easy to really save it, if he doesn't get it now, he's not really going to be able to get it. So that's why the Braisa ends up by saying that although, yes, it's talking about that he could save it, and therefore, if he could save it, so why are you saying that it's only if he runs after it? That shows that he's not giving up hope. But if he doesn't run after it, it shows he's really giving up, because it's very difficult. And therefore, if you don't really go for it now, it is showing that he's going to be giving up hope. And that's why it's not that difficult, according to Rabba. The inference is, as he said, not like Abaya, that it's telling us the main idea is if you know about it or not. No, even if you don't know about it, it doesn't make a difference. If it's an item that you could save, then it's not Yish. And if it's something that you cannot save, even if you don't know about it, it will be Yish. But here the case that we're talking about is that you could save it with great difficulty, and therefore, since this case of the Braisa, this Toma, is that you know about it, then only if you run after it is showing that you really still want it and you didn't give up hope and you can do whatever it takes to get it. Whereas if you saw it and you didn't run after it, then although it is Yichayin Lahatzel, but since Al De'atchak, it's still very difficult and you're not getting it now, which would have been easier. Therefore, even according to Rava, that is going to be considered a case of Yish, and it's only if you run after it that it's not. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a proof. So that was inconclusive to bring a raya, to Abaya. So the Gemara continues, Toshamal to bring a raya from the following Braisa, which will support the opinion of Rava, that Yish Loi Midas, Havi Yish, is considered like you're giving up. Ketzad Amru. The Braisa says, how did we say, what type of case was talking about regarding the halacha of Hatoyim Shaloi Midas? If someone takes up truma for someone's produce without the owner's knowledge, and that is every person, when he has his produce, he gathers all his grain from the year, he has to give off truma, which is approximately around a 50th of his produce, he has to give it to the kohen. So let's say somebody else went and took off that person's truma without the owner knowing. And that is the halacha of trumasei truma. It's a good truma. What he did was done. When did we say that that halacha applies, that even though the owner didn't know about it, not necessarily did he even give him permission, that we allow him to do it? That, the Braisa says, it's talking about a case where somebody goes into somebody else's field, velikit, and he gathers for the purpose for the owner, he gathers all his produce together, and then once he gathered all his grain, he went and he took off truma without the owner's permission. So now it depends. Im chayshish, if the owner is concerned, which means to say he's very particular, it bothers him. Mishum gezel, well, this was theft. How could this person come into my field, take off truma without my permission? Then the halacha is ain't truma si truma. Then that person, what he did is not truma. The person was very particular, it bothered him, he didn't want it to be done. Therefore, that's not good. Vim lav, if it doesn't bother him, he's not concerned that, you know, what? How can you do such a thing without my permission? Fine, he did it, he gathered for me, took off my truma. Then truma si truma, then it is a good truma. Now, how do we know if the owner is really bothered or not to say that the truma is truma? Now, we have to know. This guy gave truma. Do we have to take it back from the kain? Do we not? How do we know if it really bothered him or not? So, the Gemara says, Harisha Bobal Habayisu Mitzoy. The owner came and he found this person who had done this, who had gathered all the stuff and taken off truma. And the owner says as follows. Says klochetzel yafis, which literally means to say go to the good ones. What he was saying was, you know, you should have gone to the best. You're giving to the kohen and truma. That's such a great mitzvah. You should have taken the best. So now it depends. Im nimtzu yafis mehen. If ultimately that when you look in the produce and you find that there were better ones that he could have given for truma, then truma si truma. Then that means that it is a good truma because what he was saying was you should have taken better. So obviously, he was pleased with what he had done, but he was just saying, you know, you should have done even better. I'm happy you did it, but you should have done better stuff. And that shows because he really meant it sincerely, because you see, there's really better produce. For imlav, however, if there really is no better produce, what's he saying you should have taken from better? Then ain't truma si truma. Then his truma is not a good truma, as Rashi and Kedushin explains, because what we know what he's saying right now is really sarcastically, and what he's saying is that, you mean, if there would have been better stuff, you would have given even the better stuff. Like, you would have taken everything. You're a robber. You're a thief. Who lets you take? You should have taken from, oh, my gold and silver. What he was trying to say was, like, you know, you should have taken even better. And it was saying in, like, tongue-in-cheek, and like, what are you doing? You took my best stuff. Who said I wanted to give my best stuff? Who gave you right? And then the halach is going to be that this truma is not going to be a truma. However, the Braisa continues. However, if liktu habaylam, if let's say after this whole thing that this person did it without permission and he took off truma, then the owner goes himself and gathers more produce. For he see for alayin, and then he adds on more truma to the truma that other person without permission had done, then benkach or benkach, then whether that there was better produce found or whether it's not, either way trumas to truma, then what that person had done is going to be truma because he's obviously showing that he's pleased with what he did because he's even adding on to that to give it to the kain, which means that he wants that and more. Therefore, that's going to be a case of term shle medas, truma si truma. Now, the Gemara concludes the question, the proof to Rava, to yish loy medas, that it is yish. Now, v'chi nimtzu yafis mehen truma si truma. We say that in regarding the case of this person, again, that did it without permission, and he says, kalach etzel yafis, you should have gone to better stuff. So we said that if there are actually better produce that we find there, then we say it is a good truma. Now, the question is, amai, why is that? So we said what? We said because obviously it's showing that he really wanted better stuff and he's showing, I'm happy you did it. You know, you should have just taken it. It wasn't sarcastically. It didn't mean it like in a way like, oh, what did you do? He meant it sincerely. But the question is, at that time, when that person who came without permission actually took the truma, the owner didn't know. He didn't know that he was doing it. He was sitting in his house eating breakfast and this person's out gathering the stuff. But what you do see obviously is that when he finds out and you see that he's pleased, you say, okay, so retroactively, which means to say it works backwards, that he's obviously pleased and we're considering it as if then he was already pleased and that he wanted it. Therefore, the Gemara wants to say, regarding our halacha of yish, of giving up hope, the same principle, the same idea should apply. And that is, when he knows about it, he's going to give up hope. Therefore, even now when he doesn't know, we say what's called retroactively, that means from now already, it's considered as yish already, like Rava. Because the same halacha is here. How could this be his truma? He never knew about it. Oh, later he knew. Oh, later he was pleased. Oh, so that means that even now when the person had done it in an earlier time, we consider it as if it's pleased, as if it is his truma being taken off. And therefore you see, a shaloi midas is kemidas, since that would be the case even later, which is not like Abaya. However, the Gemara says, Tirgum Rava alibad Abaya. Rava himself, he interprets it, this brisa, according to Abaya, to say that, no, this is not like me, and a question on Abaya. Because this case is really talking about the Shavi Shliach. That it's talking about that he wasn't Shaloi Midas, like he never knew him ever. He actually made him a messenger. He made him his middleman to say, hey, I want you to take off my Truma for me. And therefore, it's totally Midas. There's no Shaloi Midas over here. And as we're going to explain, so what is the cases of that when it's not a Truma or it is a Truma? If he made him a Shliach, he made him his intermediary to say, I want you to do this for me. So how could you ever say that it's not going to be? And what is it that we're calling it Shaloi Midas? However, before the Gemara does it, the Gemara says, Hachinam Mistab. It actually makes sense to say that the Braisa is talking about how Rav interpreted for Abaya that the person knows this person and it wasn't like Shaloi Midas to say that, oh, we see that Shaloi Midas is Kemidas. Because the Ishak, if you would entertain, as the Gemara had assumed, to bring this as a proof to Rava that he doesn't know anything about it, but since later he likes it, so then it works even backwards, that it as if then he already liked it. But if he didn't make him a Shliach, me have a truma, say truma, would it be a truma? Even if later he's pleased with it? But the problem would be, is v'ha'atim gam atim amrachman. That is, there's a pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar that says that you too. It says, in other words, the word the Gemara is saying is foha'atim. It should have really said just you, but it doesn't say just you. It says, and also you, gam atim, is what the Torah says. That is, the pasuk, when it talks about taking off truma, it says, kain terimu, so too you should take off truma, to give to the kain, gam atim, also you. Now from here, the Gemara learns, l'rabbe shluchachem, which that includes your messenger too. And that is the concept of shluchi shel adam kemaisei, that the messenger of a person has the same halachic principle, he has the same value in halacha as the person himself regarding truma. And that means that the shliach that takes off truma, although you have the mitzvah to take it off, when you say someone else to do it for you, his truma is a good truma. Now, since we learn out shlichis, messenger, that he works just like you from here, so obviously we are comparing the shliach to the person himself. That's gam atem. Also you, the gam, the yosud, what's being added, the shliach, is also like the person himself that's sending him. Which teaches us, ma'atem ladaitchem, just like you do it with your own awareness, you know what you're doing, you're taking off truma, af shluchachem ladaitchem. So too, the creation, the installation, creating and making a shliach, has to be with your knowledge. That means you have to appoint him as a shliach. There has to be an element of das there also. And therefore, obviously, we're talking about a case of ever having trumasi truma, even what's called shalei midas, can't really be shalei midas that he wasn't your messenger. Because it only works when someone else does it for you, based on shleich shalem kemoisei of gam atem. And if he's not your shleich, his truma is not a good truma. Elohocha meiskin, rather, it makes sense to say that the case that we're talking about in this price is kigun deshavi shleich. Yes, he made him a shleich, he made him a messenger. But then the question becomes, how do we have cases of ein trumasi truma, and sometimes yes? What do you mean? He's a shleich, it's like the person himself, it's truma, it's truma. Why is it called and also shalei midas? And that the Gemara says, the yomalei, that the owner had told the shleich, the messenger, ziltrim. He told him, yes, go ahead and take off truma. But v'lo yomalei truma mahani, he didn't say take truma from these. In other words, he didn't say like from the best stuff. Vistami de bal habayiski tarim. Now, generally, when a regular owner, a regular person that has his crop that he brings in, generally they take from the medium part of the crop. They don't take the best and give it to the kain, they want it or whatever. Or they don't take from the worst, they take somewhere from the middle. Now, and therefore, since mi beinin is hutarim, he takes from the intermediary. V'azal ihu v'tarmi yafis. Now, this messenger, he went and he took from the best. Bobal habayis amatzin. Now, this is where the case begins. Now we can understand the braisa. That, again, it's not really shalei midas, he never knew him at all, some random person came in and took off truma, that's not the case, because he has to be a shliach, you have to know, you have to have made him a shliach. But now the owner comes and finds what he had done. V'amalei, and he tells him, k'lachei tzol yafes, what do you mean? You should have taken from the best. Oh, therefore, im nimtzu yafes mehen, if you actually look around and you find that there really was better, higher quality that could have been given to the kayim, oh, then truma say truma. Then the truma is a truma, because what that means is, we're saying shalei midas was shalei midas not of him being a messenger, but shalei midas of the best stuff. That was what we're saying, truma, that he was talking shalei midas. When is it going to be trumasi truma? when you find after he says you should have taken the best, there are actually best, which means to say he was sincere. He was saying, you know what, I really wanted to give the best to the kind. I'm happy with what you did, but you could have done more. Vimlav, if you don't really find any best, like, wait a second, what's he telling me I should have taken from the best? There is no more better. I took from the best. Ein truma se truma. Then this truma is not a truma, as we explained from Rashi and Gedushin. He's being sarcastic. What'd you do over here? You took the best? You should have taken everything I had in my house. Oh, yeah? Let me go take... No, I don't really mean everything from my house. I didn't mean take the best. I was telling you, what'd you go ahead and do? Then this truma is not a truma, because he didn't fulfill his shlichus. That is considered shloi midas. That's not what I had made him a messenger for. Generally, it's assumed that it's from the medium type of crop, and therefore, since you took from the best, it's not going to be a truma. And therefore, again, this does not resolve the question. It doesn't prove to Rava that you see, oh, shloi midas is midas, because it's not shloi midas. It happens to be midas. What we're talking about is in the criteria of understanding the halacha of shlichus, what is that we consider that he wanted or did not want, but definitely the whole case was midas that he knew, but he actually made him a shliach. So the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha that we just mentioned. Amemer umazutra v'ravashi. There were these three great Talmid Chacham. Iklo lebustna de Mori Bar Isak. They went to the paradis, the orchard of Mori Bar Isak. They're sitting there. I see Arisi. Now the sharecropper, who shears after the crop is done and they took care of everything, then the owner who has this worker for him shears in the produce, he gets part of the produce. That person who was working there, he came and he brought them tamri bir money. He brought these tamid chum who sit in there, dates and pomegranates, and they put in front of them. So ameim v'ravashi achli, those two tamid chum, they ate. Mazutra lo achol, he didn't eat. Now Rashi explains he didn't eat because he was concerned about theft. You know, he didn't think it from the sharecropper's part, which sometimes a lot of times they get at the end. And he was taking from the produce of the owner. The owner doesn't know about it. Therefore, I can't take it. It's stealing. Now, adahach in the meantime, asa mar bar isek. So the owner came, he's walking around, he sees, oh, tamid chum ashkechinu, he found him. V'omalei larisa, he said to the sharecropper, amai lo yaisis lehul rabbana mahanach shapirta, why didn't you bring them our great, from the best fruits of the tamid chum? Look, we have such great Torah giants over here. Why didn't you give him from the best that we have? So Amrli Amemer Ravashi Lamazutra. Now Amemer and Ravashi told Mazutra, Hashta, so now am I loyal Chamar. Why are you still not eating? You know, I understand you were concerned before. Maybe you didn't think and we held out. Otherwise, you thought maybe it was from the owner. But now where he said, you know, you should have taken from the best to give to Tamil Cham. But now you should for sure eat. Because of Atanya we learned in Abraisa, which is what we had just mentioned before. We said, Im Nimtzu Yafis Men. If the owner says, you should take from the best truma, so we said if there's actually better that are found, truma say truma, we say that then it is considered as truma. And that's because he's revealing what his real thought is, that he was happy with what was done, you just should have taken even better. Therefore, they were asking him here also. Murray is showing that he really wanted us to have, he's just saying you should have given even better. And therefore, for sure it's not stealing. He's for sure happy. He's just saying that they should have given us great Torah giants even better stuff. So why aren't you eating right now? So he said to them, Hachi Amar Rabba. This is what Rabba said regarding this halacha. Like Amru Klach Etzal Yavis, they didn't say this halacha of, you know, you should really take from the, you should have taken from the better. That what that means is that that's a what's called a Gilub Das, revealing what his real thoughts and feelings are. That halacha was only said regarding the halachas of truma. And that is if someone who is a shliach takes, and you know, he generally takes from the bainus, but he took from high quality, and he says, you know, you should have taken from the best. That we say, if you find better, that then yes, then we consider it as if it's truma because he really wants it. He's just saying you should have taken from better. Mishum de mitzvah hu v'nichle. That's because it's a mitzvah, it's a positive commandment to give off truma. And therefore, it's pleasing to him to give better quality. And therefore, he's saying that although you took very high quality, I would have even preferred even better. So we say even the higher quality is included in what he wanted. Here, we won't say that halachic principle of, oh, he's showing that he really wanted it. It's not true. We say that by mitzvahs, like by something like truma. However, here, he's just saying because he's embarrassed. He's embarrassed that he didn't give something and he's not going to say, take it away from them. And therefore, I'm not going to eat. I'm still concerned that it's stealing because you only say that by a mitzvah like truma. But in such a case, we will not consider it and therefore, I will still not eat it. So the Gemara continues, again, in this machlek, is trying to bring a proof from Mishnayos and Braises to either Abaya, that yish loy midas, loy have a yish, if you don't know yet about something that you would give up. that although now you don't know, do we consider as giving up or not? Abaye says it's not yish, and Rebbe says because since if you knew, you would give up. Even now, we consider as giving up, and if you find it, you could take it. So the Gemara says, let's bring a raya to Abaye from the following brisa, and this brisa is talking about a case when someone brings his produce up to the top of his roof, and while it was on top of the roof, dew came down on it. And that is this type of moisture that's there. There's different types. There's rain. There's dew. Now there's a halacha of hechsher eichel, which is that when the food items can only be susceptible and vulnerable and be able to accept tumah from something else like a sheretz or a mess, only if it becomes in contact with one of the seven liquids that there are. And water is one of those liquids. So now related to this, the Braisa says, idehu hatal alehen, if the dew, this type of moisture, type of water, is still on the produce, v'samach, and now the owner is happy. He wanted it to get clean or whatever it is. He's happy that the dew came on that produce. Then the halacha is hareze bechiyut, and that's included in this pasuk in Vayikra that we mentioned, which the pasuk in Vayikra is in Perek Yudalef, pasuk lamed ches, that says this halacha that we spoke about, that to be mekabel tumah, it's only if it comes in contact with seven types of liquids. It says in the pasuk vechiyutan mayim al zera, that if water will come in contact on the seeds, on these grains, then v'nafal min nevlasim alav, and then a carcass, a dead animal, a source of tumah will fall on this produce, then tameh hu lechem, then we'll consider it tameh. And that is, it has to first come in contact. So therefore we're saying, here, where although he didn't actually put it on, but he's pleased with it, then we say it's included in the category of b'chiyutan, and therefore again, it's susceptible to tumah from here on, now that it got in contact with it. However, the Braisa says, nigvu, if it dried up, before he found out about it, that it was wet when it was on his roof, then avapisha samach. Now, although now he's happy, he said, you know, really? There was dew there and it got cleaned. It looks like it's dry now. You know, but I'm happy that it got wet. I wanted it to be in contact with the produce. Then we continue on to Amud Beis, where the Braisa says, then Eden Michiyutan. Then it's not in the category of and things that came in contact that was placed on it, one of these liquids. We don't say that, although now that he's happy, that it's going to work retroactively to say, oh, what was then that it was wet, although now it's not wet, but we know that now he was really pleased, so we'll consider it. We don't say that, oh, we consider it then as if he was pleased then, and which would therefore include it in the category of chiyutan, like we say, when it is actually wet and he's happy, that's enough for it to be considered, and that when it got water poured on it and the person is happy, then it's going to be considered susceptible. We don't say that if he found out about it after it was dried up about it. Now that the Gemara says, time am I, what's the reason? What's the reason that when he finds out, when it's already dry, that it doesn't work anymore? Lav mishum, isn't it? Because de lo yamrinan, we don't say like Rava wanted to say, kiven de gloy milsa, since now we see, it's revealed to us, the hashta nichale, oh, that now he's pleased with it, that meikara nami nichale, oh, that must be that before he also was pleased with it, and we should consider it what's happening now as if it was then. We don't say that, because if we did, we'd say even if it's dry now, but it should work backwards to when it was, that it should be the same halacha. Now that's difficult according to Rava. Rava said, yish lo midas have a yish, even though you don't know now to give up. But if later on, when you will find out about it, you would give up, and you will give up. Therefore, even now when you don't know, and the person already got it, we consider it as if he gave up already, because if it was not as if he gave up, then it would be like what's called ba'al yad li isura. When the one who found it, it's forbidden for him to hold on to it when the owner didn't give up yet, because he has an obligation to return it. As long as he didn't give up and declared it ownerless, there's an obligation to return it to its rightful owner. Yet Rava says he could keep it, because we consider what's going to be later as if it's happening now. Now, that's refuted seemingly from this price that says, no, it doesn't work backwards, and I'll prove to you. When it dries up, even if he's happy now, we're not going to say that what was wet then, it's as if he was happy then. And therefore, it seems to support Abaye and not like Rava. And that the Gemara says, no, it's not difficult according to Rava, because Shani Hassan, there it's different. And this will help us understand this halacha of coming in contact with one of the liquids about what is this idea about being happy about it, either if it comes into contact with the liquid or not, should be the main criteria, the main important idea about if it's going to become susceptible to tumah. That the Gemara explains. Because dechsiv ki yitein, the way the pasuk is written, the actual letters, it's written that when it will be placed, it doesn't say ki yutan, doesn't say yutan is in the passive, that if it will be placed, in other words, by itself. It doesn't say that. The words is yud, tuf, and nun, which is that he will place, which is ad sheyitin, until he puts it. Oh, so that's why it doesn't work. You're right. Things shelo midas do work retroactively. But although it will work retroactively, but it doesn't help, although he's going to be pleased with it, but he himself didn't put on there. The dew that fell by itself, and therefore it's not going to work because he actually has to put on there. But then the Gemara asks, wait a second. Ihachi, if that's the understanding that you actually have to do it, so then Reisha Nami. How do we understand the Reisha that when it's still wet, that we said that if you're pleased, oh, then it will be included in the category of kiyutan, that when it's placed and that now it's going to be susceptible to mekabel tuma, it should not be considered hechsher because it's written with the words, although it's pronounced yutan, but it's written yitin that he will place, and he didn't place it. It fell by itself. The dew came by itself. He didn't put dew on it. So why over there, based on this explanation of Rava, do we say that it is susceptible to tuma? That the Gemara says, hasam kedrav papa. That is as Rav Papa had explained. And this is the idea about explaining the difference about happy or not. The Rav Papa, because Rav Papa had posed the following contradiction. On the one hand, ksiv kiyitin, the way it's written, is written kiyitin, yud, tuf, endana, which means that he will put it. It has to be active. He has to have done it, not passive, that it happened by itself. Yet, on the other hand, ukurinan kiyutan, the way we read it, the way we pronounce it, our Messiah, is as if it was written yud, vav, tav, and nun. What does that mean? Because depending on the nekudos, then it's going to be pronounced in a different way. And that is if it's with a kubutz, then it's yud, that yud, tav, and nun is going to be pronounced as yutan. And that is how we read it. Therefore, haketzad. How so? How is that possible? Is it yitin that you're going to put it only if you do it actively? Or is it even yutan, that if it will be placed, which is even passively, when it happens by itself, it's already going to be prepared and susceptible for tumah? That is what Rav Papa explained, be'inan ki yutan dumiro dichiyitin. You have to synthesize the two, you have to put them together. When it's done by itself, has to be similar to how when you yourself do it. Now, what does that mean? Ma'yitin lo das, just like when you yourself are putting it, it's with your awareness, you're doing it with something that you want to do. Also, when it's being done by itself, it has to be also with your knowledge, with your awareness, that you know about it and you're pleased with it. Therefore, as Rashi explains, when the dew is still on it, then it's still in the category, it's still in the element of yutan. When it's already dry, it's not yutan anymore. It's already done. It's already dried up. Therefore, of course, it can't work retroactively because it says kiyitan. But then if it means you have to put it on. Can't work backwards. Oh, but if you have to put it on, how does it work when it's still wet and that everyone says that if it's pleased, it's going to work, but you didn't put it on? Well, that's because that's included in kiyitan, which says kiyutan, which means to say that if you're pleased with it as it's being put on, which means when it's still wet, then we're going to consider it as kiyitan because it's pronounced kiyutan, which is that the passive, when it's done by itself, is the same as when it's active, but it has to be when it's actually wet, and therefore it's not difficult according to Rav. Because although he says things work retroactively, and it should work even when it's dry, this case is different because the Torah tells us you have to put it on. You have to put it on when it's wet. And now, although it works even when you don't put it on, but it has to be in when it's being put on, when it's still wet, not when it's already dry. So the Gemara again continues trying to bring support for the different opinions of Abaye and Rava of Yish Shalom Midas. So the Gemara says, Toshima, come in here, support for Abaye, that Yish Shalom Midas is going to be considered not Yish. The Amr B'yechin, as Rabbi Yechin says, Mishurmi B'shmol Ben Yitzadik, the name of B'shmol Ben Yitzadik, Minayin La Veda Sheshat Fenar Shehimuteres, where do you know that a lost item, this was mentioned on the previous daf, a lost item that was washed away by the river, that it's going to be permitted. Dechsev, as it says in the Pasuk, and this is what we had explained, that there, everyone agrees that it's going to be permitted even when it has a simon. It says in the Pasuk in Devarim, which talks about the parashas of Hashavas Aveda to return someone's lost item, it says, V'chein tassel lechamari, so too you should do for his donkey if it's lost, return it to him. V'chein tassel simlasa, you should also do for his clothing if it's lost, return it to him. V'chein tassel lechalavet zechicha, and so too should you do for all the lost items of your brother. Asher toivid mimenu umitza'asa, that's lost from him, and that was found. Now, the problem is, mimenu sounds like it's extra. What does it mean, it's lost from him? Well, it's lost. It's lost from him, it's lost from everyone, it's lost, and then this person found it. On that, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechon teaches us, it's coming to teach us, Misha Buda Heimenu. The obligation to return it is only when it's lost from him only. However, Umitsuye Tsukaladam. It's found to other people. Then when other people can get it, it's just he doesn't know where it is, then you have an obligation to return to him. However, the inference of that the Torah is teaching you is that Yatsasazu, that's excluding this case of Shatva Nahar, when the river washes away his item, Sha'avudimimanu, it's not only lost from him, but it's also not found to other people. No one could get it. The river is taking it away. No one has access to it. Then we're going to say that then a person could keep it and does not have to return it. That's the halacha that we mentioned in the previous daf, that it's washed away by the river. Then you could keep it even if he doesn't know about it, even if there's a siman, the Torah permits it. Now, and this is what the Gemara says, v'isura dum yudeh teira. So therefore, since both these halachas are learned out from the same pasuk, we're going to compare what the Torah tells us is forbidden to hold on to, and you have to return, to what the Torah is telling you that's permitted to hold on to, and you don't have to return it. And that is, we spoke about something that is lost only from him, mimenu, what the pasuk says, but it's found by other people. Then we said you have to return it. In the same pasuk of mimenu, the inference is teaching us that something that's not found by other people, that you could keep on to it, you don't have to return it. The pasuk is comparing the two of them, that this one is usur in this pasuk, which is what the pasuk's talking about when it's only lost from him but others have it. And this of when it's not mimenu, when it's lost from other people too, that then it's permitted to hold on to it. Which seems to say that they're the same halacha in all cases. Which teaches us, mahatera, just like the permitted case, which was when it's not mitsuya club, no one could get a hold of it, like the case of when the river's taking it away. You're not going to differentiate bein de ispa simen or bein de lespa simen shari. Whether it has a simen, doesn't have a simen, we said either case is going to be permitted because it's avud bimenu and from kol adam. Therefore, af isura, suta regarding the case of when it's prohibited for you to hold on to what you found, which is mitsuya kol adam, everyone else can find it, it's just the owner that lost it. There's also no difference bein de ispa simen, whether there is a simen, in other words, regarding something that when you would find out about it, you would not be miyayish because it has a simen, which obviously then you have to return it. Ubein de lespa simen, and this is the most important point, and also regarding something that does not have a simen, that is, if you found out about it, you would be miyayish. Yet in spite of that, the pasuk is telling us, asura, we're always going to say that it's asur, and that is, we're not differentiating between the two cases of when it's always mutter and when it's always asur. And just like the case when it's always mutter, we said is whether it has a simen or not, so it's always asur, even the case when it has a simen or not. Now, how does that make sense that it's always going to be usur even if there's no simen? That is in the case of when you could say that the person didn't know yet that it fell from him and the other person already got it. What is that case? That is the case of Yish Lemidas. And yet we're saying that it's usur. That the Gemara says, to Yufta, the Rava, to Yufta. We have refuted the opinion of Rava because it's clear from the comparison in the pasuk of when it's lost only from him, but everyone else still has it, to the case when it's lost from everybody, that just like the case when it's lost from everybody, it's going to be always permitted, whether there's a simon or not, so too, when it's only lost from him and it's found by everybody, it's always going to be usur, whether there's a simon or even if it's not. Why is that? Why is it usur? Why don't we say, harei v'shaloi, I, the person, would be miyai, should be found out about it? Because that's what's called yish limidas. And since he doesn't know yet about it, we don't consider it as if it's yish right now, and therefore it's still owned by that person. Therefore, when the person finds it, he has an obligation to return it to that person. And as the Gemara concludes, v'hilchas ha-kavaseh da'abayah, the halacha follows abayah. Although generally we follow the halacha like Rava, b'yal kagam. By these six cases, these six machlekes in between abayah and Rava, we paskin the halachas like abayah. And as Rashi explains, the word yal kagam are mnemonics for these six cases. And the first one being our halacha that we pass in halacha like abaya. The yud is for yiyush shaloi midas, that regarding when you don't know yet to be miyash, but you would be miyash, the halacha follows abaya that it's not yush. The ayin is a reference to the machlekes they have regarding eid zaymim, that as witnesses they get refuted by saying other witnesses come and tell those witnesses, how can you have said that you were with us that day, which their machlekes was regarding if that makes them invalid retroactively from when they said that testimony, which is the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Chav Zayin and Alf. The Lamed is a reference to the word Lechi, which is a side post, that generally with the halachas of Eruv, we have to have a side post that allows one to carry in an area and separate between that and the Rishas Aram, which their machlikas was regarding a side post that was nearby itself. It just happened to be there. They didn't put up specifically for that, which is a machlikas in Masechtas Eivrim, Daf Tes Vav Menaf, if we will consider that as a halachically valid lechi or not. Then from the next kagam, the kuf, is from regarding kedushin that is not able to be consummated, that the person cannot end up living with this woman, but he made a kedushin, he's betrothed or he engaged her. If we're going to be considered that as kedushin or not, is a machlekes abaya and rava, and mesechtes kedushin daf nun aleph amed alf. And again, on that halacha, we pass him like abaya. Then the gimel is in reference to what's called gilu das. If someone is revealing his intention regarding a get that he wants to be mevatlet, that's a machlekes a mesechtes getin daf lamed aleph amed alf. If we consider that as a bittel, as a nullification of the get of the divorce document for his wife or not. And finally, the mem is regarding a mummer, someone that's a renegade that eats nevelis, he eats non-kosher lahachis intentionally, not because he enjoys it, just to spite Hashem. If he's going to be puzzled, invalid to say testimony in Besdin or not, that's a machlekes abayin rav and mesechtes hanedrin and daf chavzayin amed alf. These six cases, we say the halacha follows abaya. And not like Rabbah, although generally the halacha is like Rabbah. So now the Gemara continues. Based on this, so we concluded with our discussion of Yish Le'medash, the halacha is Lo Yav Yish like Abaya. So on that the Gemara asks, Amalei Ravacha B'reid Rabbah L'Ravashi, Na V'chimi Acher D'Itais of Rabbah. Now once we have refuted the opinion of Rabbah, and that is Yish Le'medash, although someone would give up hope, but he doesn't know yet. So therefore we do not consider it as Yish, it's not ownerless. So then the question becomes as follows. Hani Tamri Dezeka, these dates that the wind blows them off from the tree and they're on the ground. Heicha Achlein Lahu, how do we eat them? People take it. We see people do this. Now, what's the understanding of this people's customs that they eat it? But the person wasn't Miyayish, that the owner of those fruits didn't give up hope yet because he doesn't know about it. And Rashi explains, he says that although the Gemara waited to ask this question until Rabbah's opinion was refuted. He says he doesn't understand this because even without refuting Rabbah's opinion, you could still ask the question. As even Rabbah agrees, as we had mentioned on the previous daf, that anything which is what's called chazuse mechichalav, that when you look at it, it's obvious who the owner is. That besides, we said, for figs, that because they get disgusting when they fall down, that they're not going to be yish, and because he knows he's going to get it, so why are we saying now, based on that no more rava to rely on, therefore it's yish lemidah, so what are you going to do? How are we allowed to go ahead and take it? Rashi is asking, even with rava, even if he holds yish lemidah as yish, the person wouldn't be miyayish, because everyone knows that it's his, as we had explained from Taisis, they could see whose tree it fell down from. So even according to Rava, we shouldn't be able to eat it. And then Rashi says, you're right, that we only said it here to say, make the question even stronger. That now that Rava's opinion was refuted, and therefore, even something that does not have a siman should be usher. Most definitely, this case, which has a siman, for sure it's going to be usher. But either way, this is the Gemara's question right now about how do we go ahead and eat these wind-blown dates if the owner is not miyayish, and therefore, how can we go ahead and eat it? So Amalei said to him, it's not a problem. And that's why people eat it. Kivin de ikashkatsim ramasim de ka'achli luhu, since there are bugs and vermin, there's all these little creatures on the ground that eat at these fruits, so therefore, mi'ikara, from the beginning, initially, even before they fall, yi'ushi miyayish minau, the owner has already given up from it. In other words, he knows that the wind's going to blow it off. This happens all the time, every year. And he knows the bugs come and are ready to eat it. And therefore, he thinks to himself already beforehand, you know what, I'm not going to care about it. It's ownerless. Whoever wants, let them have it. And that's why we're allowed to eat it, because he knows the bugs are going to get to it. And therefore, he's a miyayish even from beforehand. But then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, so then Yasmi, regarding orphans, that minors, small children, the lav b'nei mechilininu, that they cannot forgive things, that they can't declare things ownerless. They don't have the kayach of going ahead and declaring ownerless of what they really own. So then my, what's the halach over there? How we can go ahead and take all these fruits? Maybe it's from orphans that they can't declare it ownerless and we're stealing now by taking these fruits. Because although people would generally be miyayish and that's hefker, but minor orphans cannot go ahead and declare things ownerless. So it should be aser. That Omale, he said to him, the reason is, baga, regarding a valley, in other words, where all the different fields are, but we don't establish, we don't assume that it's going to be taken from the land of necessarily from the minor orphans. We don't have to assume that it's from them to say, oh, you know what, all the dates in the world are going to be forbidden, because maybe it's from the land of the orphans and they can't go ahead and be mafker. Rather, there's always a halachic principle of you go after the roif, the majority of the world are not minor orphans, and most of the people know about it from beforehand, and therefore the miyayish, they give up and they're mafkrit. That's why we're allowed to go ahead and eat it, because of the halacha of brayv. But then he asked, well, muhsik v'yaymid. Well, let's say we know about it. We know this land is from minor orphans. My, what would be the halacha there? Could we still take and eat it like people do by other fields? Similarly, he asked, karachta. Karachta is from the word of karuchin, that when you have these palm trees that are surrounded, what the word karach means, with walls of stone, where the bugs can't get into. My, what would the halacha be over there? You said the whole thing, why they're mafkir, because the bugs, but there the bugs can't get to. And with the orphans too, if we know it's their land where they can't be mafkir, what's the halacha over there? Samalei, he said, you're right. In those cases, Assyrian, they would be asir because there is no yish, either because they can't be miyayish, like the minor orphans, or because when they're surrounded by a wall of stones where the bugs can't get in, it's not miyayish, because why should it be miyayish? It's not going to get ruined. And therefore, in those two cases, one can actually not take the fruits of those fields. But generally, you could go ahead because the roiv of the people are miyayish because they know the bugs are going to get to it. Now the Gemara continues discussing the cases of our Mishnah. And that is, we mentioned 10 different cases where the Mishnah said that if you find a mitzi, you find a lost object, you're walking on the street, and you find something, these 10 items we said that you can keep. And as we had explained, it's based on the principle of that a person's miyayish, on these things he gives up hope. And as many of the cases we had explained, it's because a person doesn't have a simon, doesn't have a sign to identify, to show that, hey, this is mine, and therefore, how is the person going to ever return it to me? And therefore he says, you know what, I'm just giving up hope, I'm not going to try to get it. Hence, and therefore, it has the halacha of something being hefker, as being ownless, and that's why harei shalai. Now, the third of the 10 cases that we mentioned was kriches b'shus haram, regarding sheaves. These are bundles of stalks of grain that are found in b'shus haram, in the public domain where people walk. Harei elu shalai, that if someone finds this item, he gets to keep it. Now, the Gemara discusses what exactly is the understanding of this case and why it's considered harei shalai. And there's a machlekes, there's an argument regarding this. Amar Rabba, Rabba says, you know something? This case of finding the sheaves in Rishus Aram is even if it has a simon. Now, why would that be? If it has a simon, it has a sign. So he knows there's a way when they're calling out, whose is this? I could say, hey, it has that marking over there. It was tied like that. I could prove that it's mine. So why would he give up? So on that, the Gemara says, Almuk Sava Rabba. So obviously, Rabba holds that simon ha'osuli daris, that a sign that it tends to get trampled on, and that is in the place where it is. People generally step on it because it's a very low object, and when it's laying there in the Rishus Rabim, in the middle of the street, in the sidewalk, it's very easy to step on. Loi hava simon. The halacha is that it's not considered in halacha as a simon, and that's because the owner will not rely on it to say, hey, I have a simon, I can identify it, because he's going to tell himself, he says, you know what? People for sure stepped all over it. Whatever sign they had was totally demolished, it was totally ruined, and therefore there's no way I'm going to be able to show that, hey, it had this marking, this way it was tied, because it was trampled on, it was just ruined, and no one's going to be able to figure out the sign as it used to be. And therefore, Rabbi was saying that this case of the sheaves, of the kriches, are even going to be the one who finds it could keep it, even if it has a simon, because for all practical purposes, what good is a simon if it's going to be stepped on and it's going to be ruined? That's Rabbi's opinion. Rava, Amar Rava argues in Rava, and he explains the case of our Mishnah of Leishanu. We did not learn this, that whoever finds it could keep it. Only if it's like regular sheaves that doesn't have anything particular about it. There's no uniqueness to say, hey, I could show you that it's mine because it has that simon. Then you could keep it because it's like all those other items. We have no simon, so then there's no way of showing that it's yours. So you give up, and that's why the person could take it. Av bedavish sheyesh bei simon chayv laharis. But regarding something that does have a simon, if these sheaves do have, then he says you do have to announce it, and hence you would have to return it. Now, what the Gemara says, Amma, obviously, like Sava Rava, the Rava holds not like Rava, that simon ha'asu l'daris, although it's a sign, it's an identifying feature in this item that tends to get stepped on. You have a bundle in the middle of the street, people are going to step on it. Still, in spite of that, have a simon. It will still be considered a simon. We're not concerned. The person's not going to think that it's totally ruined. He'll say, hey, maybe I'll be able to identify it in spite of that. And therefore, if someone finds it, then if it has a simon, although it's in Rosh Hashanah, he will have to announce it. Now, the Gemara says that v'ikad masni l'hashmaita, there are those who have this version of this machlekes Rabba and Rava, ba'ampi nafsha, in its own right. In other words, not as we had inferred that we said Alma, so we see that obviously if one of them says the case is Toma with a siman, the other one says Toma without a siman, oh, that one holds that this that it has a sign is not helpful because it gets stepped on, and he holds that if it gets stepped on, it's not a siman. And the other one holds that no, it has to be Toma without a siman because if it had one, then it would be helpful, we would consider it as a siman, and therefore then you would have to return it. Now those that don't learn it as an explanation of the Mishnah, but rather, Ba'am Pei Nafsha in its own right, they argue explicitly on this idea, which they say, Simon Ha'as Ladara is regarding a sign, a simon in an object that tends to get trampled on that explicitly they argue, Rabba Amma Loyaba Simon, Rabba says it's not a simon, Rabba Amma Haba Simon, Rabba says it is a simon. Again, they argue about whether a person would be considering it and saying, you know what, I'm going to give up because although I had a sign, it's getting stepped on, or not, therefore not as an inference, not as like, oh, we see that that's what they hold from the way they explain our Mishnah regarding if this Kriches B'Shus Ram you could keep, whether it has a Simon or not, must be that although this is something that's getting stepped on, whether we're going to consider a Simon or not. No, they explicitly, this is what they argued about. Is a Simon al-Asladaris a Simon or not? Now the Gemara says, Tznan, we learned in our Mishnah a Raya that seems to support Rabbah. Our Mishnah says, Kriches B'Shus Ram, again, regarding these sheaves, these bundles in B'Shus Ram, we said, Hare'il V'Shaloi, you get to keep it. So fine, so we had this machlekes Rabba and Rava regarding if there's a simon or not, and that would show us if they hold that simon that tends to get stepped on, is that a simon or not? Now, however, if you look at the end of our Mishnah, which is really the next Mishnah that comes up, which is a continuation of our Mishnah spoke about Eilim Tziyas Shaloi that you could keep. The next Mishnah speaks about those that you have to return. So that Mishnah, which says a lot of times the different type of the same case, it says, B'Shus HaYachid. However, if you find these kriches, these sheaves, these bundles of grain tied together, these stalks, if you find it in, a, for example, like a planted field, where it's a private domain in the sense that the majority of people don't walk through there, it's not like the street to B'Shus HaRabim, there's only very few people that walk there, and that we said, Neitu L'Machris. Then you take it, and you have to announce it, you cannot keep it. So in that the Gemara says, it seems to be a riot to Rabba, and that is because, Hechidami, how do we understand this case of the Seifa, of the saying when it's in Rishus HaYachid, that then you have to announce it? And that is, Ida Lesbu Simen, if you would think it's like Rava, that there's no Simen, and that is, he explained our Mishnah that you could keep it if it's in Rishus HaRabim, only if there's no Simen. He said, if there is a Simen, then you would have to call it out and return it. Now, if therefore the case of what we're contrasting, which means we're comparing the two cases and saying that however in Rishus HaYachid, then you would have to return it, is talking about that there's no Simen, because that's the case that we're talking about. But then the question is, B'Shus HaYachid, now, although in a private domain, you're right, there's not many people coming, but my machris, what exactly are you going to announce? In other words, when this person says, hey, I found a lost item, whose is it? What's he going to announce that the one who lost it is going to say, hey, I can get it, it's mine, I'll give you a simon. What simon? There is no simon. If there was a simon, as Rava said, then even in B'Shus HaRabim, you would have to return it, because he holds it as a simon. So if they're saying that the case of Kriches, is that these sheaves have no simon, and that's why in B'Shus HaRabim you could keep it, so then why in B'Shus HaYachid can you not keep it and you have to return it? You can return it to who? There's no simon for anyone to give, because that's the way he said the case is talking about. Elalav, rather obviously what you have to say is, which would be support of Rabbah, the Isbu Simon. Obviously there's some type of a sign, because what are you announcing for the person to say that it's his when it's in B'Shus HaYachid? Yet uktan, yet in our Mishnah we learned, which is the other half of the case, of the case of Kriches, that B'Shus HaRabim, Harei Elu Shalai, when it's in the public domain, then you get to keep it. Amo, so what you see is that Simon, this Simon that there is over here, as we explained, it must be talking about a case of Simon of the Kriches, which we're comparing B'Shus HaRabim to B'Shus HaYachid, because that's how we said in B'Shus HaYachid, in the private domain, in a private area, you could return it to the person, with what? With a Simon. So therefore, however, in B'Shus HaRabim, even though there is a Simon, however, we see that Ha'as Iladaris, since it tends to be trampled on, people tend to step on it in the public domain, Loi have a Simon. Obviously, we see that it's not a simon, and that's why our Mishnah says that Harei Elu Shaloi, you could keep these sheaves, although there is a simon, as we prove from the next Mishnah. However, since people step on it, it's not going to be a simon. To Yufta the Rava, that refutes the opinion of Rava, who he said, no, simon ha'as l'daris, although it gets trampled, it is a simon. But we're proving now from the contrast, from the comparison of the next Mishnah, that our Mishnah is talking about that there is simon, and yet still it's going to say Harei Elu Shaloi, which obviously says that simon as l'daris is lo have a simon. That the Gemara says no. Amlecha Rava would tell you, Lo'olam de'las b'husiman. No, our Mishnah is, as we had explained before, that he says our Mishnah is talking about that there is no siman, because if there were a siman, then you would have to return it. But the ka'amrit b'shusha yachad ma'imachris, but your question was, oh, sounds like a very good question, but then if we're talking about no siman, and that's why in Rosh Hashanah you could keep it. So in Rosh Hashanah we say you can't keep it. You have to return it. You have to announce it. What are you announcing? If there's no siman, there's no way for a person to say and to prove that it's his. That is what Rava says, machriz makim. There's a way to prove that it's his and that you can announce it, even though there's no siman in the object itself. And what is that? You announce the place. And that is, you don't say, I found a watch, let's say. And then someone says, oh, a watch? I could show you that behind the dial there's that mark. No. You rather you say, I found it on that street, in that place. Whoever lost it, an object in that place, should come and tell me what he lost. And this guy comes and says, oh, I lost a watch. That proves that it's him, because it could have been a million different things. So machriz makim, what you announce is the place. So how is he going to identify it? By the object itself. You don't announce the object and the person gives identifying feature in the object itself. There is no siman. But what could he then claim that it's his? By saying what object it was in that place. V'rabam, and Rabbi says no. He the reason why he argues on Rava is because Makim lo yav a siman. He holds that the place is not a siman. And that's why Taisus says that because Rabbi holds that the place, when you're announcing the place to say what object it is, that's not a siman. You have to give an identifying feature in the object itself. And therefore, so how are we going to understand the Seifa? In other words, the next Mishnah that tells us that in Rosh Hashanah Yachid that you would have to announce it. What are you announcing if he holds that Makim is not a siman? Obviously, he has to say that the reason is because there was actually a siman there. So if there's actually a siman, so how does he understand the case of our Mishnah? If there's actual siman, so then why don't you have to return it? So obviously, it's because he holds a siman of Asuladaris, an object that tends to get stepped on, is loy have a siman. So really, it's what's called Lishitasam. That Rabbi Lishitasa, according to his other opinion, has to hold in regards to this that there's two machlokes. And that is because he holds not like Rava regarding if Makim is a siman or not. That is why, by default, in other words, he has no choice but to say this other opinion that he argues on Rava regarding siman ha'as l'daris, that lo have a siman, that obviously the only way of the seifa is because there is a siman, and therefore the case of our Mishnah that says that you don't have to return it even though there's a siman is because when it gets stepped on, we don't consider it as a siman. As the Gemara says, Ditma, like we learned, that they actually argue about this other topic too, and that both machlekesin, both arguments, are interdependent, they're both related. And that is makim regarding announcing the place, and that the person should then say what object it was, but not actually a siman in the object itself. Rabba amar lo yahav a siman. He says that's not enough of considering something as a siman to then allow it to be returned to him. For Rabba amar have a siman, however, Rabba says it is a siman, and therefore again the person does not give up, and that's why in the case of next Mishnah it says that regarding these krikhis in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, even though there's no siman, you would have to return it to him again because just by virtue of saying what object it was in that place. So now the Gemara says, again, continuing on this machlekes between Rabba and Rava, the Gemara says, Toshima, come in here, a brayshah that seems to be difficult according to both Rabba and Rava regarding their explanations of our Mishnah of Krichis B'Shus Rabim, if it's talking about that there's a simon or no simon. Because the Mishnah, the brayshah says, Krichis B'Shus Rabim, regarding these bundles, again, these sheaves, these bundles of these stalks of grain, if it's found in the public domain, so that says our Mishnah said, Harei Elushaloi, you get to keep it. As the next Mishnah says, that you go ahead and you take it and you announce it. However, the Braisa says, and this is the main important thing that the Gemara is going to ask on both opinions from, the way they explain our Mishnah is Vahaluma, however, the large, these are basically kriches, just larger, these large sheaves, large bundles of these stalks. Then, and then whether it's in the public area or in the private area, there's no difference as our Mishnah and the next Mishnah made a difference between when it's in Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. There's no difference, rather, night lamachers. There, in all cases, you have to take it and announce it. So that the Gemara says that according to Rabbah, that he says the reason why, in our case of Krichis, the smaller sheaves, that when they're in Rosh Hashanah, that you can keep it, you don't have to announce it, is because although there's a simon, but it's because they get stepped on, and therefore it's not a siman. How does he explain this braisa? What's the difference between kriches, which are small bundles, and alumas, which are large bundles? Either way, why is it going to be permitted in Rosh Hashanah if they get stepped on? And even if there would be a siman, it's asulidar, so it gets stepped on, therefore it shouldn't be a siman. And then the Gemara says, according to Rava, that he said that the case of kriches, these small bundles, The reason why you could keep it in Shusar Rab is because there is no simin. That's why it's Asr. So according to him, Eichim Etaritzla. How do you understand then the case of Alumais? What's the difference between Kriches and Alumais? Why should Alumais be that you have to return it and announce it if it's in Shusar Rab, if there's no simin? So if there's no simin, why would you have to return it? Like all items that there's no simin. So therefore, according to Rabba and Rava, both of them, it's difficult. What would be the difference for Alumais and Kriches? The way they explain the reason why it's mutter in Rosh Hashanah Rabba and by Kriches is either because it gets, even if there's a simon that gets stepped on, and therefore it's not good as a simon, so why should Alumais be any different? Or it's because there's no simon, so again, why should Alumais be different if there's no simon? Why would you have to announce it and return it? And that the Gemara says that each one answers according to their opinion. Rabbi Mitaritz Litame. Rabbi answers according to his reason, that the reason why this item of Kriches would ever have to be announced and returned is because, let's say in the case of a Shusa Yachid, is because there's a simon. So he answers that the case over here is also talking about besimon. We're talking about something that has a simon, as the Gemara will explain. Rabbi Mitaritz Litame, and Rabbi explains according to his reason, that b'makim, that the reason why you would ever have to return something, like in the case of Kriches in Shusa Yachid, is because of the place. But we're talking about something that does not have a simon. So how do we understand that? Again, what's the difference between Kriches and these large bundles and these alumis in Rosh Hashanah? And that the Gemara explains, Rabbi Mitaritz Litamei B'Simon, he explains that the only time you'll return these bundles, whether they're big or small, is because there's a simon. Kriches B'Shus HaRab Meir L'Shaloi. However, we explained before, the reason when these small sheaves, when they're in the Rosh Hashanah, then you get to keep it, you don't have to return it. Mishum, the reason is because, and we continue on to Tapa Chofik Elam and Alf, Demidra says, we explained, since they're small, there are things that tend to get stepped on, and that's his opinion, that Simina Osiladaris, if it gets stepped on, then it's not a simon. It's just, he thinks, oh, I'm not going to have a way of identifying it. Anyway, it's got totally smashed on, and how am I going to show that there was this little crack if the whole thing is cracked? And therefore, he holds that then you could keep it. However, if it's in a private area, then you do have to take it and announce it. And the reason is, Deloy Midrasa. It's not hundreds and thousands or whatever amount of people walking in the street and it's going to get stepped on. There's very few people walking in this private field. And since it doesn't get stepped on, that's why you have to announce it, because the simon that's there is not Asa Ladaris, and he doesn't give up hope, and he's going to try to get and identify his object. However, Va'aluma is regarding these large bundles, and that is what the Bryce is saying, whether it's in a public area where there's a lot of people walking, and a private area where very few people are walking, still in all the cases, you have to take it and announce it. The reason is, kiven digvihan, since they're very tall, they're big items, lay midrasa, they don't get stepped on. And even in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you don't have the problem of simon osel adaris, which you do have by kriches, which are small, because they're very large, and people don't step on it. If they don't step on it, he knows his simon is still going to be there. And that's why the difference is by Alumis, that you have to call it out, even in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Rava Mitaritz Litamei. Rava answers according to his explanation of the Mishnah of Kriches, why there's a difference between Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but by Alumis there's no difference, is because the Torah meant that there is no simon. But rather, b'makim. The whole reason why you would have to announce it and what you would announce would be the place, and he would tell you what the object actually is. So the explanation is, kriches b'shus harabim, why is it that by the smaller bundles in b'shus harabim, hari elu shaloi, that you can keep it, is because d'menashtefa, is because it gets kicked around, people are walking, and therefore, there's no specific place where it originally was to announce, hey, I found it on 13th Street. Well, what does that mean? I don't know where it was. People kick it all around. There's people walking or coming. And therefore, it could have been on 11th Street. So people are not going to be able to identify it by the place. And therefore, they're going to give up. And that's why Hirei L'Shalai. However, Bishas HaYochid Chayiv L'Hachres. However, we said in the private area, let's say, a field where a few people walk through, then you do have to announce it. And the reason is delay menashtefa. It doesn't get kicked around. And therefore, someone, you could say, I found it in that part of that field. And the guy would say, oh, I left, my watch was lost there. Oh, it's your watch. Because you could show him what object was in that place because it doesn't get kicked around. However, Vahaluma is regarding the large bundles. Whether it's in a public area where people generally go and kick things around, or whether it's in a private area, still night lamachers, you have to take it and announce it. Why is that? Kivin the akire, since they're heavy, these are large bundles. Loy menashtefa, it doesn't get kicked around, and therefore, even though there's no simon, but as Rava had explained, the simon is going to be the place. Even in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the place will work For bundles, how so? Because they're large. And if they're large, they're not going to get kicked around. So we resolved both opinions of Rabba and Rava, although it seemed like that it was difficult. What should be the difference between Alumois and Kriches? Even if there's a simon, it gets stepped on in Rishas Rabba, or if there's no simon, for sure, what are you going to announce? So he said no. Because Rabba, according to his opinion, the simon Asla Daris is not a problem for Alumois because it doesn't get stepped on because it's so big. And according to Rava, that he said the idea is that the Makim is the simon, but you don't have a Makim, a place being a simon of Rishas Rabba where it gets kicked around. By Alumois you do because it stays in its place because it's large and people don't kick it around. And therefore, we resolve both opinions in the explanation of our Mishnah if the Krichas are talking about that I have a simon or not have a simon, and it's not difficult from the Braisa, which sounds like that by Alumois it's going to be Chayv L'Hachris even in Rishas Rabba.